Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Marshawn scores! A pop-up deflection, and Marshawn fielded the bouncer and Patrice Bergeron. 1,000 points for a one-in-a-million player.
Andy Gresh.
Yeah, that was probably the most special thing about it. All the guys kind of jump on and share that with them, so that was great. Definitely something I'll remember for a long time.
Rich Keefe.
And the Boston Celtics, who suffered their only loss in regulation here in Chicago 4 weeks ago, suffer their second on the exact same floor. Just never got it going.
Gresh and Keefe, right now.
I thought we, at times throughout the game, just kept chipping away at it, and then we just kind of lost it a little bit at the end.
On WEEI.
What a 3 hours we've had so far. Exploding toilets, fantasy advice. Talked to Jalen Mills earlier today. Oh,
wow.
Baby.
Complete show.
We're going to get into the Minnesota Vikings, but as I typed Minnesota Vikings into the Twitter just for some of the stats to come up.
Yeah, what do you have?
First thing that comes up, it's the official Twitter of the Vikings, and they have announced their Thanksgiving game attire.
Ooh, what are they wearing?
They're going purple on purple.
I like it.
Purple jersey, purple pants, eaters. And the yellow stripe down it as well. They got a little accoutrement on the sleeve.
It's all right.
You're not as...
No, I'm looking at it now. It's all right.
Too crayon-y?
Yeah, I don't know if I like the stripe. I don't know if I like that.
So this isn't the Color Rush uniforms, but it looks like what they were using for the Color Rush uniforms with the purple on purple.
It's not terrible.
So what does that mean to the Patriots? So they go white.
Are they going white in they can go any color pants they want.
Well, that's the thing. They go silver or something special or something. I mean, it is Thanksgiving
Day. Oh,
they're
not going Pat Patriot, are they?
I don't think so. I would assume they save those for home. But then again, it is the national audience.
True.
So why wouldn't you put... Pat the Patriot there. There was a guy who I know in Pittsburgh.
They were all whites.
Well, there's a buddy that I have in Pittsburgh who was complaining about the Steelers uniforms, and he called it Patriot Pete. I'm like, get out of here with that. Come on. It's Pat the Patriot, for God's sakes. So at least we know what uniforms the Vikings are going to wear. They're going with the primetime purple. So the folks in Minnesota are all jacked up over that. However, the heads of Viking fans, have to be spinning a little bit. Another fourth quarter comeback for them, which has been a part of that, the DNA of this year's Minnesota Vikings, where they've got some fourth quarter comebacks. So they have a big one in Buffalo, and then they turn around and come home and get absolutely pantsed by the Cowboys.
I mean, smoke. That's
they
one of the
sat
more,
the starters
blowouts.
In the second half.
Yeah, the fourth,
Dak Prescott.
The fourth quarter was useless for both teams. Now, they both had the quick turnaround, and that probably played a little bit of it, but the game was so lopsided. It was 37-3 going into the fourth quarter, and that game was in Minnesota, and you thought it was kind of a measuring stick game for both teams, right? Like the Vikings had a better record, but obviously Dallas had played a bunch of games without Dak Prescott, and you're wondering, all right, what are either one of them, considering the NFC is pretty wide open. The Rams have fallen off a cliff. Aaron Rodgers' team sucks. Tom Brady's team is very middling. So there's a spot there between Philly, Dallas, maybe Minnesota to win the whole NFC. And in that matchup, it was all Dallas. Like, Dallas dominated. The Vikings' offensive line looked very similar to the Patriots' offensive line.
Pretty leaky.
Kirk Cousins just had no time. He took a bunch of sacks and was just kind of running for his life. And again, it's a good Dallas is a good defense, but so is New England. Right? You got Micah Parsons, you got Matt Judon. Like, so there is a little bit of overlap there. And so they're probably not as good as an 8-2 team would strike you. You're 8-2, and you're like, oh, they must be pretty nasty. They're probably not, but at the same time, and you got to give them credit in the NFL even for beating bad teams, because we see upsets every single weekend, right? And so at some point, you look at them and say, all right, they found a way, albeit a crazy way, to beat Buffalo, but they found a way to beat Buffalo. And prior to that, they had lost to the Eagles, who are pretty good. So, yeah, it's a hard team. And we discussed this in, the second hour of the show on Tier Tuesday. Minnesota's a tough team to figure out because they are coming off just an absolutely embarrassing loss. So did they get exposed, or is that kind of like a one-off?
Well, it's interesting because the Cowboys have gone to Minnesota for three straight years and won with three different quarterbacks.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
so I don't know how much of it is matchup, but look, they got pantsed, and some of the numbers are starting to come out. And the two things that really stand out is red zone defense for Minnesota is as bad as the Patriots' red zone offense. Something's got to give. Yeah. And the Vikings giving up a ton of passing yards this year. Now, again, is that the Patriots' modus operandi? No. Not really. No. But if you can get any level of protection, then you would think you'd be able to throw the ball on this Vikings group who, they're not a mirage, but they definitely have some numbers that don't correlate. I think their point differential at 8-2 is -2.
That's bizarre.
Which is really, really weird.
Well, again, you lose 40-3.
Right.
That can, and even though they've played.
And did they blow anybody out? Like, that was.
No, they won a lot of close games, I believe.
Yeah, in fact, the trend is, yeah, they haven't had a win bigger than. It would be Miami, it looks like. Week one against Green Bay.
23-7 against Green Bay, week one.
And then they turned around and lost to Philly, and then they went on their heater before Dallas kind of got them.
Yeah, the two losses. Even their other loss to Philly was 24-7. So you can see their two losses were a little bit one sided. What's also jumps out to you is, again, they're 8-2, but you look at where they rank in the league, both in points on both sides of the ball and on yards. So defense, they're 19th in points allowed, so that's on the bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
29th in yards. Only three teams give up more yards than the Minnesota Vikings.
Pretty crazy.
And then offensively, they're 13th in points, which isn't terrible. And then they're 18th in yards. So again, they're like right in the middle of the pack as far as moving the ball, even though they have the high-end talent. Justin Jefferson is probably the best or the second best or the third best wide receiver in all of football. Adam Thielen is a really, really good number two wide receiver. Dalvin Cook is a legitimate running back. He's on pace for another like 1,300-yard season. And then Kirk Cousins, right? Like, he is middle of the road. He can have some really good games. He can also have a few stinkers here and there.
Feels like he's new Stafford. He's the guy who, because, I mean, and we debated Stafford a ton last year. It's the, well, if he were on a better team, would he play better? But then again, he's not that bad, but he might not be that good, and he stinks in prime time. So, he's a weird case.
He is odd. Last season in Minnesota, he went 8-8, but he had 33 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Right, which makes me
That's an outrageous stat. You see that stat, you're like, oh my God, sign up for that in a second.
But then it's like, okay, wait a minute. How does that happen? You know?
No, I know.
Are you whizzing away leads late? Are you not getting the lead? Are you not, like, that's when you really got to dive in.
No, that one is a bit surprising. Now, their defense was pretty bad last year. Like, I think every year he's been there, the offense has been better than the defense. And so that's one of the issues. Like, you're right, relying on him to kind of carry it. That's why I wonder, like, if Kirk Cousins was playing in New York or New England. Now, again, like, and he had the great defense. Could he look a little bit better? Now, maybe the stats wouldn't be as good because he doesn't have Justin Jefferson. But then again, he wouldn't have to score as many points to win. Like, I don't know. He's kind of confounding.
I'm torn. He's very confounding. Here was the number I wanted to look up for this kind of describes the NFL in 2022. Minnesota is 8-2, 229 points scored, 231 allowed, a -2 differential. I'm going to read a team, and you try to guess who they are. They have a losing record, so I'll give you that hint.
All right.
They have scored 216 points. They have allowed 205. They have a +11 point differential, yet they have an overwhelmingly losing record.
So they've scored more than they
score more
given than up,
plus
but
11.
They have a losing record?
Yeah. 3-7. I'll even narrow it down that far.
Oh, 3-7. Broncos.
Not a bad guess.
Raiders.
Too many points.
Oh, yeah, true. Raiders?
No, one more.
Another losing Jaguars.
Bingo.
The Jaguars have scored more points than they've allowed.
The Jaguars have scored 216. They've allowed 205.
That's
and they're 3-7, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, but it goes to show what the NFL has very much been like this year and kind of how crazy it's been. 617-779-7937. Your chance to be able to jump in on the Patriots. Now, I don't know if you saw this. I'll retweet it at The Real Gresh on Twitter. We'll get it out on at Gresh Keefe. There's a photo circulating around on the web during the Minnesota Cowboys game.
I saw it. The one on the jumbo screen with the porn star?
Oh, no. Oh. This one is an actual football one.
Oh, got it.
With 6:51 to go in the third quarter and Dallas up 37-3, clearly Kevin O'Connell had to flip his sheets around, the play calling sheets, because they gave up on running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
However, and I'll show you this photo before I read some off of it, so CBS caught Kevin O'Connell.
Priority runs? Priority. Oh, my God. They have the whole play thing?
It's basically Kevin O'Connell screwed up, and he flipped. And we've joked about the Cheesecake Factory menu that, like, Andy Reid and Matt Patricia would have. This guy, meanwhile.
You think they're going to run the Diamond Tight 8 Short 37 Sponge X Omaha?
Bingo!
I hope they don't run that.
It's crazy. Yeah. So priority runs out of 11 personnel, and then there's, like, 9 Swift X Orbit 38 Gumby Bubble. Bunch tight 17 Wanda Fly.
Now that is bad by Kevin O'Connell, but also part of it is like it's just pathetic that you have to like hide your stuff on the sideline. Like they shouldn't be zooming in on your play sheet.
Well, it's funny. I think they caught it by accident.
Yeah, probably.
And then everybody screen grabbed it.
Of course.
And you can tell there's something underneath, but like it's 11 personnel, and then there's 12 personnel where he's got a note of you try to get him in man, I guess, for West Slot Facts 19 Support 18 Apollo. What's I guess those are check with me.
I don't know exactly what those mean, though.
But there might be some guy down in Foxborough who's like,
oh, you guess
what? This sounds like our offense from 2006 or whatever Kevin O'Connell was there.
But don't these guys kind of know around the league like what they are? Like Kevin O'Connell obviously comes from McVay, comes from Shanahan. Like there's definitely going to be some overlap there.
It's the verbiage. Yeah. And because, again, when you get, and we've talked, Lord knows, we've talked about defensive players who are calling out plays. And, like, I know normally it's by position group, and it's like, what are you listening for? There are certain line calls. Like, I bet you know what? Maybe next time we ask Lawrence Guy, we talk to him next week, we could ask him and be like, hey, we saw this, and does that really matter? Does the verbiage matter? Does it give you clues? Because this thing went all over the internet, and it was like, what is Kevin O'Connell doing? He should know better than to run. But, I mean, it's like 15 running plays that are right on that sheet, which is
Dalvin
pretty
Cook,
amazing.
He should have a bunch of plays.
Well, and you know what? And here's what I'm starting to wonder about this game. How does Dalvin Cook and TJ Hockenson fit into what the Vikings could do? Because we know that Justin Jefferson, and I admit I will go to the handle a number one receiver, try to keep him to under 100 yards, try to keep him out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to eat. He's a great player. He's going to make some plays. They're not going to be able to shut him down, but can you at least contain him so he doesn't kill you? However, the tight end really hasn't been a problem for the Patriots this year on the whole. When you really think about it, like even as I'm cataloging in my head, I can't really think of a game where they got victimized by a tight end. But this is a guy with a wide receiver on the outside and a real running back in Dalvin Cook who not only can run it, but can also catch it out of the backfield.
Mark Andrews.
Okay.
But he might be the best or second best guy in the league. And he got over two scores.
And he is arguably their number one receiver on Baltimore.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Right.
But he had a good game against them, but so did Baltimore. Like, that was one of their bad games, Lamar Jackson.
But on the whole, the tight end has not been a real. And I'm wondering if this might be one, considering the other players you have on the field.
Well, and they already faced him once, too, which is kind of an interesting thing because of the trade.
Right.
Hockenson was in that game. He only had one catch when the Patriots also shut out Detroit.
Right.
But Hockenson played in that game, so you wonder, I mean, he's got a different perspective than some of the other guys, rather than just watching
on
film.
I didn't even think of that. That's a really good point.
And so there's.
But I wonder, with different talent, does the tight end become a problem? Because in all honesty, and you mentioned Baltimore, and I think the takeaway coming out of it was Lamar really beat you with the run, but you're right, Andrews had a good game. But they've been pretty good against tight ends this year.
The other one was
they got Duggar's back.
Well, you could argue one of them was in garbage time, but the first game against the Jets, Tyler Conklin had two touchdowns.
Okay.
So Garrett Wilson had most of the yards. It was more of a Wilson yards game, but Conklin scored. I mean, if you the Vikings, two receivers, tight end, and running back with the quarterback should be a top five or six scoring offense. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been. They've had a couple of good games here and there. They've been sort of more just like, you know, in the low 20s. But their offensive line, just like the Patriots, has also prevented them from being better. I mean, they got destroyed against the Cowboys. And that might be – and then they also lost their left tackle.
That losing – what's his name?
Darashaw.
Oh, yeah, Darashaw. So I always want to go Smallwood for some reason.
Old Smallwood. But yeah, that was brutal. And so going up against Matt Judon and the rest of the Patriots, like, that's going to be one of their tougher games that they have.
It feels like there isn't as massive a gap. And when you really dig into, because I admit, like, it's like, okay, well, the Vikings did this and they won a game and they've been losing third quarters and winning fourth quarters. Like, there are certain things that you do know, but when you really look under the hood, it does make you wonder, okay, is this team much more vulnerable than the record may indicate?
Yeah. He's been sacked 27 times this year. So 10 games, you know, just over 2.5 times a game he's been sacked.
That's right. The Vikings have 26 and they've allowed 27, I do believe. 617-779-7937. Want to talk some Patriots? Here's your chance to get in.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Follow the show on Twitter at Gresh Keefe.
Dance with my dogs in the nighttime. Trap with the chickens like Popeye.
Apparently, France and Australia are getting ready to go in the World Cup here. We're watching warm-ups there, hopping around, playing hopscotch.
Yeah, well, you got to get loose. You got to get ready for the big tilt.
And the broadcast crew is interesting. Their sideline guy is like soccer Bob McKenzie.
Yeah, the guy looked old, but
they didn't go the traditional route of finding a 30-year-old smoke or something like that.
No, they didn't do that.
Well, Cutter might frown on that.
They dug up some guy and stuck him on the sideline. They went that route.
Your sideline person must be old.
Here I am.
And over 60 and a man.
I've covered every World Cup, and I am proud to say Yeah, that's true. In Qatar, maybe they don't even allow women on the sideline. Who knows? They got some different rules over there.
That's true. Well, they're letting him in the booth.
Carly Lloyd.
Yeah, for the breakdown. And then that spaceship in the middle of the desert out there that they're playing in.
It's really pretty wild.
Yeah, this whole thing is very FIFA.
Big time.
Like big check.
I don't know. Like if your thing was covering soccer, I'd be like, do I really have to go there? I would not want to go there.
No, I wouldn't either. And they're messing around with like armbands and stuff like that.
Well, Grant Wall was wearing a shirt. So Grant Wall, I forget where, but he's been covering soccer forever. And his shirt just simply had like a rainbow on it. And they were like, nope, you're not getting in there. And then they asked, he was going to either remove the shirt or whatever. It was a whole thing.
So he used to work for CBS and I guess for SI.
Yeah,
and
he's a national
guy. No, now he's just grantwall.com.
Oh,
yeah. So I guess he went out on his own.
How about that?
I guess so. I have no idea. He's got a Substack.
He operates that URL that he operates that.
So now that he doesn't have a big corporation behind him, he probably just had to be like, all right, I'll change my shirt.
We're going to find out he's going to be there for like 5 years.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You know what? Sadly, you could be right.
You never know. That's what's nuts.
Yeah, I can't get used to watching this whole sort of soccer coverage and all that and figuring out all the point differential and scoring.
Points.
All that
points.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was Mexico and whomever.
Well, the U.S.
was.
Really screwed themselves yesterday. They were up 1-0 for the longest time.
So there was a goal. And hot
then
damn.
Then you had a penalty, and then suddenly it was 1-1, and it ended in a draw.
If you put together all of the goals of the World Cup into one video, would it make it to 2:30 by the time it's all said and done?
I don't know. They're quick hitters, so maybe not.
Yeah. But
although
it would
England,
be. But
England scored 6 yesterday, so maybe.
Did they?
Yeah.
I heard otherwise. I'm only kidding, John. Don't get upset. 617-779-7937. We did. I don't know how much we really do want to unpack this, but
it's worth mentioning at least.
Yeah, we can't ignore it because we laud this guy for everything that he does in the community and talk about how great a citizen Jaylen Brown is of the Celtics, yet. There, he had to come out again yesterday, and I know we have the apology, but for those who aren't hip to the game, when Kyrie Irving got reinstated to play in the NBA, there was, and John had it perfectly worded yesterday, I should know it by memory, but it was a bunch of folk who were out there basically, what's the best way to explain this? I don't want to offend anybody, but they were we've got into the whole African Americans think there was, or some think that they're the true oppressed ones versus Jews who went through the Holocaust, and you're comparing it isn't as bad, and da da da. And there was a group who was out there spreading anti-Semitic rhetoric before the game.
No, it's a group that's been deemed a hate group.
A hate group.
And there was they
were lined up.
Yeah.
Out in front of Barclays, I think.
Jaylen Brown's been defending Kyrie Irving almost at every turn, and we've kind of questioned that. Like, why do you even want to do that? But yet, there he is. And maybe part of it is because his spot in the league as a VP of the Players Association. But whatever. Remember, he was calling out Joe Tsai, saying that he has work to do.
He has work to do.
So Jaylen Brown's the big. Let's not talk about what Kyrie's doing. Let's talk about what everybody else is doing wrong. Let's do that. Let's fix everybody else first, and then we'll fix Kyrie, I guess. And then so what happened was there was a video that was going around Kyrie's first game before the Barclays, and you had this group out there just chanting for Kyrie, and then they also were handing out pamphlets, apparently.
Is it fair to say the black Hebrew Israelites? I guess that's one
was.
Of the things. Yeah.
That's what they were. Yeah.
There you go.
And
Jaylen thought they were the Q dogs, basically.
Jaylen Brown retweeted the video of those guys and just simply wrote energy.
Correct.
And he got flooded with responses being like, Jaylen, like, do you know who these guys are? Like, so are you supporting these guys? So now we're right back to where we were with Kyrie.
Correct.
Kyrie just retweets a post about this video that was being shown on Amazon Prime. And everyone's like, wait a minute. Like, do you agree with what's in there? Do you not agree? And when Kyrie was given an opportunity, he really stepped in it. And that's what led to this whole thing.
Right.
So now Jaylen Brown then follows it up and is just like, oh, I thought they were just supporting Kyrie. I didn't even know who they were. But he leaves that tweet up, and so he's sticking by it, and he's like, yeah, I don't. But he's doing the same Kyrie crap where he's like, well, I don't agree with everything they say, but right. I love the energy. I love the energy. And, man, what a dangerous thing that is. We've dealt with this for the last several years. Well, hundreds of years, but
yes.
Specifically in the last several years, I feel like it's been brought up again like so much where – like, oh, like, I have the support of, like, this group. It's like, you sure you want the support of that group? Like, you want that group
to be well, behind, are you
and,
behind them?
And when you add the fact that, okay, he signs on for to have Donda represent him, meaning Jaylen Brown.
Right.
And then you have Kanye who says what he says. And then Jaylen Brown's like, no, I'm not walking away from him. And then 24 hours later, the statement of...
After Aaron Donald left, then he
I have to walk away from this guy. So Jaylen Brown did talk about this pregame yesterday. Here is what he said before yesterday's game.
Yeah, I didn't have my reading glasses on. I didn't know who that group was. But my instincts when I first saw that video is that I come from a community torn every day by systemic representations and imageries of violence in our community. So when I saw that video, it struck a chord just for different reasons. I saw a large group of people from our community showing support for him and his return. So me being proud of that support and being proud of our community, you know, for doing that, does not mean I endorse or celebrate some of the things that were being done or being said. Like in my community, you know, we just lost one of our icons and one of my neighborhood heroes in Takeoff. From issues that I think stem from representations of, you know, violence in our communities. My instincts when I saw that was, I didn't notice which group it was. I just noticed the support, and that's what I commented on. And I reemphasize, I don't think that, you know, everything that is said or being done is something that I endorse or represent. But in the future, when I'm a father, I'm not yet. I would like, you know, my son and daughter to see more representations of people of color, brown people and black people standing together on issues rather than seeing, you know, images of violence in our media, in our music, in our movies that we don't entirely promote or profit from. You know, those are my thoughts. And I think that any media group or person in attempt to discontort my words or discontort my attempt to support someone clearly has an agenda.
Wow. So
it doesn't matter the message.
No.
As long as people, as he said,
like turned it into
of
a
color.
Filibuster.
Yeah, and then turned it into the, well, the rapper that got shot, that's all tied into a bunch of
anything to do
nothing.
With Takeoff. From
you said, know what? He said his instinct too. My instinct in the moment was
I was gonna fire it up.
2 minute answer. Your instinct was that.
But isn't
whole
that
thing,
also
that all went into the instinct?
Isn't that also the same kind of stuff that like Jaylen Brown would call out? Like if somebody else just like knee jerk reaction retweeted something or responded to something, you'd call him out and be like, "Well, you need to be smarter than that." I'm telling you, as long as Twitter is still around, the freezing takes people that old takes exposed.
Oh yeah, cold takes
needs to find everybody that said Jaylen Brown was smart. And retweet those. That is the hottest take there was. This guy is closer to Kyrie Irving than I ever could have imagined.
And that's sad.
It's so
And you know what wasn't included in all that? I was wrong.
Or specifically what you disagree with, which
right.
was the same thing that we were dealing with Kyrie, which even led to his suspension, by the way. And this story hasn't been brought up nearly as much.
Oh, no, it flew.
As Kyrie.
He was lucky this was on a Sunday.
You're right about that.
On an NFL weekend, and it flew way under the radar.
And he did, I guess, it didn't go too long for him to then say, like, whoops, like, I thought there was somebody else. But then he just falls back on the, well, I was just sad. I was just happy to see any group support Kyrie. It's like, all right, so you want the support of anybody. Like, man, that I thought we were kind of past this. I thought we were kind of past that.
So it's the whole, it doesn't matter
no.
what you, it doesn't matter what your message is.
Right.
What Jaylen Brown
just
is telling us
together.
Is that if it's people in his community
right.
that are all lined up for a cause.
Right.
Then, and again, that worked very well during the pandemic. We had teams that were able to get attorney generals of states on the phone. And then you had people where you turn around like this and be like, so all it takes is a bunch of people to just line up outside an arena
but
and
like,
you're going to follow them without doing any research?
No. And then it just seems like Kanye and Kyrie were going down a certain path where they were like, we need to bring our people together, and even if that means we are then just ripping Jewish people, like, we're
right.
willing to do that. And then I'm not saying Jaylen Brown is there by any means. I'm just saying he's kind of closer to that than not, and he's sort of willing to defend Kyrie at all costs. That's like, this is showing at all costs.
That's the part that is really bothersome. Yeah. Is it of all the people in the NBA you're going to double down to defend or try to support? Like, I get his whole role in the NBA PA. I understand that. But he's not going to lose being the vice president of that association if he doesn't tweet out energy. And then, by the way, left it up.
He's keeping it up there.
And didn't pull it down. So right now, I'm still looking at it. FCHWPO is Jaylen Brown's Twitter, and it still says energy on there. So I guess it's energy for people who...
Apparently all energy is good energy. Doesn't matter where you're getting the energy from. Could be from the KKK, for God's sakes. But as long as they're together and they're unified, they're bringing the energy.
Well, you know what? Basically, what Jaylen Brown is telling you is that as long as it is people from his community that are lining up, you could be exactly right. Those people could have been out there spewing straight up KKK type hate.
Doesn't matter.
And he would have had no idea because it was just a look and a snapshot. And by the way, I know there are a lot of people probably out there saying, guess what? If a white guy did that and the whole, hey, things look a certain way, that's the way Jaylen Brown went with it. And he tried to do it in a positive way. And then when he found out it was negative, it's almost like he is afraid to piss off Kyrie in all of this.
I don't get it. It all circles back to Kyrie. But yeah, that one is just, it's pretty odd. It really is. And then in the answer to then bring up the death of Takeoff, the rapper. I'm like, where does that really fit in?
In
all
a
this?
Bowling alley at 2:30 in the morning. And what was he saying about that? Was he condemning his own community on that? Or was he insinuating something else? That's what I didn't understand.
He's mad at movies and music, too. Like, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I really don't. But really, it's more about why this guy. Why Kyrie? What is it about Kyrie?
And it's funny because when they were
scratches Jaylen Brown's itch, he wants to defend that guy.
Didn't it seem like those two kind of butted heads the most when they were here?
Yes.
And yet it seems like Tatum hasn't really said much on the matter. And
Tatum's been smart. He said no.
Just leaving it alone. But Brown, and again, I don't know how much of it is being a VP of the Players Association. He feels like he has to, but it doesn't mean you need to be out there, you know, retweeting videos.
Well, he made a mistake that a lot of people made. The problem is that when you are number one, a pro basketball player, and you're as connected to Kyrie in different ways like Jaylen Brown is, it automatically is going to be viewed as support. And does Kyrie deserve support right now?
I don't really get it. No, I don't think so. But here we are.
All right. We'll try Joseph in the car here talking about Jaylen Brown. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hey, I think you guys, I appreciate you having me, but I think we're missing a big part of the discussion. I think you can like something, like, for example, you can like a part of a movie and still disagree with a part of the movie. And that's the whole point of this argument, which I think is what we're forgetting. So
you can support a hate group if you agree with part of the hate group, like part of their message, but not all of it?
No. Once again, the point is it's tough to just give you a quick 30-second snippet, but when he says I stand with people that look like me, brown and black, he means I'm going to support my people, even though there are things like, for example, the gun violence against each other and the stuff that goes on in the urban cities, where even though I don't agree with that, I'm still going to stand with my black and brown people when I see injustice, right? And he sees an injustice, which is a topic for a lot bigger discussion of what's going on with Kyrie, which is not just what he said or what he retweeted. It's a bigger picture.
What he supported was a group of people, and Joe did the hit and run, but what he supported were a group of people where he just made a snapshot judgment based on how they look, which if folks did that across the board, it's a part of what we're trying to defeat in this country. If you look at it from a policing standpoint, what's the first thing that has been talked about in police reform? You know, forget the whole defund, that's stupid. But what do we try to do in police reform? That you don't have a white cop look at a car full of black kids and automatically say, well, this must be the group. And when it goes the other way, the same principles have to apply. If we're going to clean it up, and by the way, most social justice warriors, let's call them, or people who are active in their community, don't make mistakes like this. They know who they're backing.
Right.
That's a part of being
right.
a responsible advocate is knowing that are there deeper issues that can be discussed? Yeah, Joe did a good job of trying to divert that. But if we just look at basic, simple issues of, hey, I look at you and you must be this. That's exactly what Jaylen Brown did.
And even
and when he found out that there was layers of anti-Semitism involved, he didn't walk it back.
No, and then he even has, he starts it out with a joke. He's like, oh, I didn't have my reading glasses on. It's like, all right, well, you were then made aware pretty clearly. You obviously read enough of the comments to issue your little fake apology initially.
If he would have taken it down within 5 minutes of all the people saying, what are you doing?
Different,
it wouldn't have been a story.
Different story.
Instead, now he's given 2 minutes of gobbledygook and still trying to defend this clown.
Now, he wants support no matter what these people think and say and do. It doesn't matter as long as they support Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, unfortunately, because there's a lot to like with Jaylen Brown, and he's finding ways to turn us off from that end.
Mm-hmm.
You Got Something is next.
Original. W-E-E-I.
W-E-E-I.
New England Sports Original.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEEI.
Time for You Got Something, sponsored by Unified Office. If you run restaurants and fear that you're losing money due to missed phone orders and lost incoming calls, let Unified Office boost your business. They are a restaurant's best friend. Visit unifiedoffice.com. to learn more. Landman, what do you got, babe?
Yeah, something real quick here. So it's on this date, 1986, where Mike Tyson became the world's youngest heavyweight champion at just 20 years old, stretching his record to 28-0, beating Trevor Burbick with a second-round TKO. Now, the funny part of this story is what I had mentioned last week about Mike Tyson. This was the fight where he went into the ring filled to the brim with gonorrhea.
I mean,
he was burning up, and he took it out on Trevor Burbick.
Yeah, he blamed him for it.
It's such a wild story. He admitted it. You know, this was like 20 years or something later that he admitted it.
Yeah, Kevin.
But he went into that match not feeling very well.
My wiener hurts. I'm going to beat this guy's ass.
And went on to win the world championship.
That was 86?
86.
So then 87 is when the video game came out.
September 87, the game came out.
Yeah. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, which still is one of the 10 greatest games of all
still
time.
Still never
probably.
Beat him.
Nope, me neither.
I wonder.
Can get there. Can't beat him.
I refuse to believe that a game there with four directions and two buttons can be so difficult.
So difficult.
I wonder on the bingo card of VD
what
Mike Tyson has had.
Oh, a blackout.
Do you think he's got full card blackout of the...
A little bit of this, a little bit of
yeah,
that.
He's had quite a life.
I would assume if we threw drug use in there that he would be able to hit it with the old venereal diseases and drugs.
Well, he tried to sell us that he wasn't using cannabis when he bit Holyfield's ear off, which nobody's believing.
Yeah, nobody's buying that.
Well, he might have been on different stuff then, if you know what I mean. Some things that would make
possible.
You do that.
Yeah.
Most people who, you know, rip a joint or have a gummy aren't walking around looking for some
ready
ears
to bite
to
somebody's
on.
Ear off. Yeah, they might get hungry, but not that type of
there
hungry.
You go. That's the thing. Well, when Mike Tyson got real big, that's when he switched to marijuana. And now, then he got ready for that pay-per-view where he made like $20 million to spar.
And now he's happy.
And now he's happy.
Now he's happy.
He's hanging out with Ric Flair, smoking Ric Flair drip in
that's
Vegas.
I saw
Ric Flair the other day with literally a weed gun. Like, he was at a party, and he just loaded the top of this thing out, and it just kind of sprayed smoke out, and people were just running up to it, taking hits off this thing.
He's also had quite a life.
I was going to say, if you also want to see the effects of potentially, allegedly, the cocaina.
That 30 for 30 is awesome.
Well, go back and watch a 1986 Ric Flair, like Saturday 6:05 when they taped it in the morning.
Oh, yeah, him and Steamboat.
And him, his eyes are like red and they're like this big. He's like a cartoon. His eyes are like bugging out. It's crazy. John, you got anything?
Yeah, I guess I'll also do it on this day. And in honor of Vince Wilfork being named as one of the 28 semifinalists for Vince the NFL Wilcock. Hall of Fame. 10 years ago today.
Maybe you get a busted play here. And then, Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose and it's alive. And then going into the end zone is Steve Gregory.
I've never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. Mark Sanchez not expecting it. And it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
I still can't believe that happened.
That's the lowest moment for any on-field incident, don't you think?
You really think?
Is that worse than Orlovsky?
Yeah.
Well, what about...
It's got to be like those two and the Jim Marshall wrong way.
That's what I was
going to
say. Jim Marshall the wrong way. Scoop and score, and he went the wrong direction.
This came up on the producer show last week, Gresh. I looked it up quickly. Vikings won that game, the touchdown game, the wrong way touchdown game.
Yeah,
but nobody cares. Like that's never going to matter.
No, butt fumble.
Like,
is just
the Cowboys won
about it.
The Cowboys won the Odell catch game. No one's ever going to remember that.
No,
but it's how it's like the image of it. The name itself just is going to live on forever. It just kind of summed up Jets football there for a little bit.
This game was like 45-3 or something.
Oh,
right?
They pantsed
them. The final score.
They smoked them.
And of all people, Steve Gregory.
Steve Gregory.
That's your Steve Gregory moment. Keith, you got something.
Yeah, I got a couple things quick. One, Ben Simmons returns to Philly tonight. How do you think that's going to go? Brooklyn Nets and the 76ers. This is the first time Ben Simmons is, at least, again, he could bag out any minute, but he's supposed to play against Philadelphia. I wonder if they even care. Have they moved on, or are they going to give him the Philly treatment?
Oh, my
Philly
God.
Treatment. Yeah,
he will be hunched up in a shower at midnight tonight having a sack.
Probably. And at the World Cup today, one of the biggest upsets in the history of the World Cup, Saudi Arabia defeated Argentina 2-1. They were plus 2,500 to win the game.
That's pretty impressive.
So you did a little sprinkle on Saudi Arabia today. You would have been feeling pretty good.
What are your top three World Cup upsets? Do you have a list?
That's number one.
That's one. That's your favorite one.
Number two.
No, that was a big
one for sure. So Argentina's got their work cut out for them. They can obviously still get out of the group, but that was a shocker.
That is something. Yeah. It really is.
What do you got?
And, I got nothing. I'm going to plug tomorrow.
Oh, big show tomorrow.
We have a giant show tomorrow. We will have a Bruins and a Celtics game to preview. What if Wednesday? Always tons of what if. What'd I say?
No Billy tomorrow.
What?
No Billy. Who do we got? Do we know? Chicken Nick?
Yeah, Chicken Nick's in.
Chicken Nick.
All right.
All right, Chicken Nick. He can pick a winner.
No, but it's not you.
You might have to call in to do the Thanksgiving draft, though, because I'm pretty useless in that.
The Obby's line was fantastic today, and I know you didn't mean it that way. That's what makes it great.
Subliminally, I may have.
Oh.
John's Thanksgiving draft is going to be toast, ginger ale, like
Tums.
Crackers, and a Tums.
Actually, the last time I did the Thanksgiving Eve go out on the hometown, that's what my Thanksgiving dinner was the next day because I was so criminally hungover.
Yeah. Be careful out there, folks.
Well, that's a bummer, no Billy, but we got a primetime parlay. We'll talk with Andy Hart, your fantasy stayaways. We got a Vikings four-pack of questions. Keys! Because we have a game on Thursday, and the Thanksgiving plate draft.
All right. That sounds like a full show, if you ask me.
10 a.m. Don't be late, folks. John and Billy produced it. If something went wrong, blame them. William, have a great Thanksgiving there, buddy.
Hey, Billy.
And
thank you, boys.
Yes. And Marloni, Foyer, and Mego are next. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. for your Getaway Wednesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.